Hello, my most beautiful friend. Welcome back to another episode of the Meant to Bloom podcast. We are taking motherhood and what you know about life, and we are flipping it upside down to gain a new perspective and overcome so many of these like overwhelming challenges that we face as mothers and women and all of the things. I've been thinking a lot lately about Taylor Swift, honestly. I've been thinking about Taylor Swift a lot, and I've been thinking about motherhood. She's not expecting or anything, that, as far as I know, but it does correlate and does tie in, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I've been thinking about like the difference between a homemaker and a stay-at-home mom, because I have been both, and I have self-identified as both. And I think it's a mindset thing. Honestly, it's a mindset thing, because being a stay-at-home mom, especially ever since COVID, and it's like, ugh. Don't even talk to me about stay home. Like, so many conflicting feelings about that came up for me, because I was always a homebody. I still am a homebody. I enjoy being home. I'm in a new house that I absolutely love. I love being home. But the idea of being stuck at home and being forced to stay home is like, no, thank you. I need it to be my choice to be at home. And I feel like there's so much negative connotation to the term of stay-at-home mom. And I think that kind of seeps into how we actually perceive ourselves when we are stay-at-home moms and how we show up. And I think your mindset and how you choose to show up is the biggest difference between stay-at-home mom and homemaker. And I'm going to say full-time homemaker, actually. Let's call it full-time homemaker, because you could be a homemaker who also works outside the home many hours a week, and still be the one who is considered the homemaker, that you take on all those home responsibilities and things, even though you work outside the home, or you split the homemaker role with your spouse or husband or whatever, roommate. But anyways, I've been thinking about the difference between stay-at-home mom and homemaker. That came up to me today as I was walking into my kitchen, thinking about how I feel about my kitchen, what I want to do in my kitchen. And it came to me, this visualization about the difference between being a stay-at-home mom and a full-time homemaker. All right. And I draw a lot of inspiration from this from reels. If I'm watching a reel about like a stay-at-home mom, she's typically dressed more the way that I dress, leggings and an oversized sweatshirt, the messy mom bun. And the idea of a stay-at-home mom to me is someone who is struggling to keep up, trying to get all the housework done, trying to keep up with kids, you know, trying to do all of these things. A stay-at-home mom feels like someone running on a hamster wheel. It feels like just this continuous, exhausted state of being where you can never do enough to achieve just success in the home, I guess. That's what a stay-at-home mom feels like to me. But when you say full-time homemaker, I am picturing a woman who has it all together, like who appears to have it together. I'm picturing like a floral paisley dress or something and combed hair. Someone who is maybe doing dish, like in the act of doing a task. Someone who has time to bake bread. That kind of thing. Like a homemaker, I am really picturing someone who's succeeding at running a home. I'm seeing more of thriving in the idea of a full-time homemaker, whereas I'm seeing more of surviving in the idea of a stay-at-home mom. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm the only person who sees the difference here, but maybe you've been self-describing as a stay-at-home mom and you need to self-describe as a full-time homemaker in order to start focusing on the positive spin of the same thing. Because here's the thing, a stay-at-home mom and a full-time homemaker, especially a full-time homemaker who has children in the house, you're doing the same job. A stay-at-home mom and a full-time homemaking mother are doing the same job. And maybe you just need to redefine the way you talk about yourself. I mean, honestly, a lot of times mom, maybe it's because your kids are constantly yelling, mom, 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 mom. But mom kind of gets this, I don't know, it's a very casual, laid back kind of a vibe I get from the name, from the term mom. And I love being called mom. I love when my kids call me mom. But you know what? Most of the time they call me mama or mommy. And I think it's just the sweetest. I love their little voices. I don't care what they call me. I love hearing them. But then when I hear like mother, I think more like someone who's got it together. Like a mother feels more mature and sophisticated and put together, whereas a mom feels like a younger version that's still trying to figure it all out. And maybe that is just in the formality of the different terms, but they're the same thing, right? A mom and a mother, they're the same thing. And I think that's why your words that you use to describe yourself and your home and whatever else are so important. And I think if you can find a more positive word, and it doesn't have to be the same thing for everybody. Like, honestly, maybe you feel opposite about both of these terms. But I think we need to start self-describing and reassessing, like, what words we're using for things. And just find one that fits better, that feels better, that carries a better energy for you, you know? And I think that just changing a word that changes the way you view something will totally change your approach to it, because you can shift your mindset just by shifting these words that you're using. And I think that is just powerful, right? So I want you to know that you get to set your own standards. When it comes to you and your home, you get to choose what the standard is. You get to choose your uniform. You, like, you're your own boss, and you get to pick, like, you get to set the standard. You get to choose what gets done every day. You get to choose these things. You get to choose what energy you're going to show up with. And I think that is so beautiful, and that you get to set the standards. And I think I'm doing a lot of thinking today. Wow. There's so much power in realizing that our expectations are oftentimes higher than our standard. And that is where we kind of go astray, I guess, where we kind of skew from what we want and what we have and what we show gratitude for. And I think a lot of times we're setting our standards to be, no, we're setting our expectations far higher than our standards. Because if you look at your home right now, whatever state it's in, that's your standard. That's what you are easily physically capable of right now, because that's where it is. And you probably have a to-do list of things that need to be done. Because if you're somewhat like me, once a week, your whole house feels like it's running smooth and perfect. And then every other day of the week, it's like, oh, there's things to do. And then you get that burst of energy one day a week where you take care of everything that needs to get done. That's where I'm at right now. And I realize that if I lower my expectation down to what I'm actually physically and mentally capable of maintaining as my daily standard, I'm a lot happier. I feel a lot more successful because I'm achieving my expectations. And it's not that I'm achieving more. It's that I honestly lowered my expectation because I realized my expectations were not realistic. So are your expectations realistic? Or are you, you know, shooting way too high? That's something to look at in understanding that as the mom, as the stay-at-home mom, as the full-time homemaker, you get to set that standard. You get to decide what you're capable of and what you're going to shoot to do, you know? Align your goals with realistic expectations, and it's going to change the way you view yourself. This is how you go from being a failure who's barely getting by to a success, right? This is how you start to feel successful, is by seeing where you already are successful. Because it's sort of like what I recently, I told my kid this recently. There's an old, I think it's an Albert Einstein metaphor where he's talking about, like, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it's going to feel like it's a failure. And I was explaining this to my 7-year-old, who is autistic. I don't know if I've mentioned that to you guys. Like, he for sure is. I know if you've been listening for a while, you've probably been on that journey with me of, is he not? There's something going on. He's for sure autistic. So we've been sort of leaning into the right kind of conversations for that. And I was telling him that story about, I was just kind of telling him, like, if a fish gets judged for how it climbs a tree, you're going to think it's not good at things, you know, like that fish would feel bad about itself. But if you judge a fish by how it swims, that fish, you know, can be a winner. Like, not everyone is good at the same things. We all have different strengths. A fish can swim a lot better than, you know, a monkey, and a monkey can climb a tree a lot better than a fish. Just these kind, like, I was making all these animal comparisons about what different animals are good at different things while other animals can't do that at all. Or they're really bad at it. And he got like the biggest smile on his face when he realized what I was talking about. And he just gave me this like really big hug. He was so excited about that story. And so I want to remind you that even like, if we're all moms, we're not all good at the same things. Not all of us are capable of baking sourdough from scratch. Not all of us are capable of keeping the floors in our house completely clean. Not all of us are capable of doing laundry every single day of the week and never letting it pile up and get out of control. But all of us are good at something, right? And I think the common bond we share as moms is that we are all really good at putting our kids first. And maybe sometimes we put them first a little too often. That's why the whole self-care for moms is such a huge, like, multi-kajillion dollar industry right now. It's because, you know, moms need to put themselves first sometimes too, right? But we're all really good at showing up for our kids, aren't we? And we're so good at it that we feel this like immense guilt when we think we could have done better. Let that go, right? Big breath. Let go of any of that guilt you might be holding over that. You are doing the best you can. You are the best mom for your kids, right? I firmly believe that every mom is like strategically paired by the universe with the child they have. And whether that is something that is like this cosmic spiritual thing of putting the two souls together, or if it's because their soul is born out of yours and like you're literally connected by DNA, or maybe you're the stepmom or an adopted mom and it really was the universe that put you two together. Whatever it is, like, I so believe that a mother and a child are put together for some really big, perfect, beautiful purpose. Like, you're meant to be the mom guiding them through their life. I think it's so beautiful. I really do. But anyways, I mentioned Taylor Swift at the beginning. How is that tying into things? I've been thinking about, like, powerful women lately. And I do have to say, like, I was not a Swiftie ever. Like, honestly, I used to really, really, really not like her. Until one day my mom was like, I'm really confused about why you don't like her. She reminds me so much of you. And then I realized in my healing journey, I didn't like her because of the parts of her that reminded me of myself, because I didn't like myself. And so that is a rule that I have followed a lot, is that usually if I don't like somebody, it's because I don't like the parts of me that they reminded me of. And so it means I need to do more work on me. So anyways, but I've been thinking about terms for powerful women and how they have shifted throughout my life. And I mean, like, Taylor's like one of the most powerful, you know, women right now, like $1 billion. She's on like every fifth reel I see on Facebook. She's everywhere. She's at every football game now, and she's unavoidable, right? But she's a very, like, powerful, influential woman right now. The only way she could have, like, more power in our world is if she, you know, went into government, right? Anyways. Oh. Terms for powerful women. When I was growing up, like, powerful women were always, it was always, like, a negative connotation. It was, like, calling them the B word or something, like, they were never positive words given to powerful women at a very, when I was, you know, 90s, much younger. And then I noticed in recent history, calling powerful women like queen in like the last 5 years, saying queen has become the thing. And I know I've even referred to like you ladies listening as queens of your household. Like, come on, it's what you are. And queen, that kind of became like the term for a powerful woman, which is really great. Much better than, you know, the terms I was hearing growing up as a child. Anyways, but then here's how Taylor Swift comes into it, is that I'm constantly seeing people, especially like Gen Zers, like the younger crowd, referring to her as mother. Like every time she gives out some kind of a hint about a new album, like the terminology I'm always seeing is mother is feeding us right now. And I think that's so cool that they're referring to her as a powerful woman, as mother. Like she's not even a mom. She doesn't have a baby. She doesn't have kids at home. She has cats. But the fact that people are connotating a powerful woman with mother, that's big. Now, can we as mothers connotate the word mother with powerful woman? Like, can we see ourselves as just having so much power and control? And like, we feel like our life is out of control so often because there's so many moving pieces and it is like mathematically impossible to keep track of all of it without something falling apart at some point. Right? Like you cannot predict everything that's going to happen in your life. You can't. Things are going to go wrong. But can we start seeing ourselves as having control about being the one in control? Like, can we start seeing ourselves as more than just a mom and see ourselves as mother, as a full-time homemaker? Can we change the words we use about ourselves so that word empowers us? Can we please empower ourselves so that we can just stand up and be proud of who we are and to know that we are exactly where we're meant to be? Stop with this mommy martyrdom of being a mom is so hard and it's so miserable and I'm so tired all the time. Honestly, I think that complaining about it makes the problem bigger. But I think if we can stand up and step into the power that is ourselves, the power that is our motherhood, we can do anything. You can't do everything, but you can do anything. One thing at a time. You are so wildly capable. And so abundantly blessed. Like, your life is already beautiful. I want you to see that. I want you to know you're in control of your own life. That doesn't mean changing everything in your life. That doesn't mean throwing away all the parts that aren't working. It means focusing on the parts that bring you joy and happiness and bliss and peace and calm. Focusing on all of the tiny, beautiful pieces, like a mosaic, you know? Have you ever seen a big, beautiful mosaic art piece? Like, it's made out of broken pieces of glass and rock. You take all those broken pieces and see how beautiful they can work together. That's it for today, friend. Those were really all the thoughts I've been thinking for you. And I want you to respond to me and let me know how they're piecing together for you. So go ahead and email me, hello@brittanyclarkson.com, or you can find me on Instagram @BrittClarkson. You can scroll down in the show notes to the, like, I don't remember what it says. It says like Q&A or submit a question for the show or something. You can go on there and tell me anything and it sends me an email. Anyways, my friend, I love you so much. Please be taking care of yourself And please be enjoying this time of year and every time of year. Enjoy your life. Hey, gorgeous. I gotta let you know that right now I am running a 50% off sale on all of the Everyday Joy planners. Okay, the Everyday Joy planner, as you know it, is retiring and I am clearing out my inventory. It is all 50% off, which puts basically everything is at cost plus shipping. And I'm including free shipping, like shipping's included in the price when you buy these off of Etsy. So mentabloom.etsy.com, it will be linked in your description below. And go check them out. I have a handful of designs. There's weekly planners, there's daily planners, there's the one day tearaway planner, there are spiral planners, and they're all 50% off until gone. Price points are $5, $10, and $15. Super cheap, super affordable. These are the 90 day planners and 6 month weekly planners. So check those out. Again, that's mentabloom.etsy.com, and they are on sale until gone. This is clearance, clear out. They will be disappearing. The Everyday Joy Planner, as you know it, is no longer in print. So get these while I got them.